Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. St. Matthew tells us, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Did you ever wish you had lived in biblical times? That you could have seen and experienced some of the great events that are described in the Bible? Well, if so, what makes you think that you don't live in biblical times? Today's readings, the Old Testament from Exodus, we hear about the people of Israel, a huge mass of people, that they are gathered together, pressing together before Mount Sinai. In the Gospel from Matthew, Jesus goes throughout Israel, and there are crowds of people coming to him, and Jesus sees that they are harassed and helpless. Well, haven't we been seeing and hearing about crowds of people, many of whom are harassed and helpless? And then also seeing and hearing of other crowds gathered together, themselves harassing the helpless. We live in biblical times, folks. Things aren't really all that different. When Jesus saw the crowds, we are told he had compassion on them. His heart went out to them. Does yours? Now, sure, there is plenty in our day to get riled about, to be angry about. It is, first of all, good to speak out against oppression, to call for justice for everyone, that everyone be the same under the law. That is what our country stands for. It's in our Constitution. And yet, it is difficult to see people yelling in the faces of police officers who themselves haven't done anything except protect people, even in their protesting. To see people yelling in the faces of governmental officials, throwing them out, taking over, opposing injustice by becoming oppressors. These things are not only wrong also, they anger God himself. God is not only the creator of everyone. In Christ, the savior of every single person. And so for these reasons, God calls us to respect and honor and value and support the life of every single person. But he's also the God who has established government. He calls us to honor and obey those who are in authority. And those who do not will finally face God's judgment. But still, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, gave him into sin and death, into injustice, into oppression, that which is caused by our own sins. God did this that all might be saved. And so Jesus, when he came among us, his heart went out to the crowds who were harassed and helpless. Does ours? Does ours, or do we withdraw into ourselves and turn away from others, simply content to let things happen, to let people get what they deserve? Well, who am I to make any difference? Who am I to change anything? It's easy to think that. Sure, we know we are all sinners, even the best of us. No question about that. Scripture is clear on that. And most of us also know that we really have little influence. We figure we will simply be ineffectual. We know that no efforts of ours will truly bring an end to evils like prejudice and racism. No law will bring an end to them. These things arise out of envy and hatred. We can't put an end to these sins in others. We struggle with them in our own hearts. So, what can you do? What can I do? Give up? Resign ourselves to fate, to the increasing decay and eventual destruction of society? No. Of course not. Christ! He's the answer. And he is ours. Behold what you are in Christ. God tells the people of Israel, gathered before him at Mount Sinai, "You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." And he has done even more for us in his Son. Romans 5, our epistle today, says, God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, and even more, Paul goes on, not just sinners, weak, ungodly, even enemies of God, so bad that he cannot call us good, a good person for whom someone would die. Even so, Paul says, while in this condition, Christ died for us. And this means we have now been justified by his blood. Now, justified. This means we do not live under the burden of sin. And no one has to. God is not focusing upon our sins as he looks upon us. He is not angry and just ready and waiting to punish you for any wrong that you do. Even before you knew him, even before you began loving him and worshiping him in Christ, he was looking upon you with love. Romans 5 says, we were reconciled to God, looked upon as friends and not as enemies, by the death of his Son, even before you knew him. And now that you do know him, now that you have been baptized into him and have learned of God and all that he has done for you, now that you trust him, you are to God more than just friends. You are a kingdom of priests and a holy nation These words that God had Moses speak to the people of Israel, Peter repeated them in his first letter and says, this is true of us today. You are a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. This means you are living representatives of Jesus. You have his riches to share. It begins with what we heard in our gospel reading today. You have the riches of an apostolic ministry, a ministry in which Jesus himself is present, present to forgive you, to rescue you. That ministry began when Jesus chose 12 of the many disciples who were following him, chose 12 and made them apostles, men sent out with his authority, sent out as ambassadors to bring the help and the healing of his kingdom to other people. Jesus told his disciples, go, proclaim, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. Those 12 whom he made apostles, when they heard these words, I can imagine them thinking, who? Me? Heal the sick, raise the dead? They were a rather motley crew. The 12 that Jesus chose, they were not the most highly regarded in their society. They were not priests or prophets in Israel, not governors or mayors of towns. Some were just average fishermen. One was very politically involved, would have raised tensions in his day, just like it does in our day. Matthew was a tax collector, or had been a servant of the Romans, working against his own people. They would have hated him. And Christ chooses him. But he didn't just choose them. He equipped them with his own authority. And so they didn't go out just merely to talk about Jesus. They brought to people his help, his healing, his kingdom, with the true justice of God's love and mercy and blessing. This is what they brought. And those who received them, who believed in Jesus, lived under God's favor. Well, that wasn't just a one-time thing. It continues to this very day. We confess in the Nicene Creed that we are part of one holy, Christian, and apostolic church. Your pastors, the pastors of our Missouri Synod, have been taught the doctrine of the apostles of Jesus. Jesus, through you, gives you these pastors. You are the kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And so through you, God's Spirit works to call pastors to stand among you and proclaim Christ and his kingdom to you. Just think of that. You can tell someone who is harassed and helpless, who's searching for God, for meaning in life, for God's blessing, that you know where he is. You know where his kingdom is. You have his scriptures. You have the gospel of Christ in his word and sacraments proclaimed. It is here. Jesus is present in this ministry that serves you. What a great and eternal blessing it is to be present in God's house, present among his people, to be here with you. With you. Don't ever think little of yourself. You are a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. It is God who says this. This means that every one of you who believe in Jesus You have God's forgiveness. You stand in this life then as his priest, a holy person.
Who, me?
He says this of you. That means as a priest of God, you stand in his presence and you've got his ear. You know, people in our day are often impressed. They speak with wonder if they saw, for instance, the Pope, and especially if they were touched by him, or a bishop, or some great and exalted person, even some well-known and loved political leader. You have the ear of the Creator of heaven and earth. His favor rests on you in his Son, and he has given to you his kingdom. This is what you should be impressed by. Give thanks to God for that, because it's his gift to you in Christ through his life, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension for you. It is awesome to think. Awesome to know. To know because Christ says so, that you are a holy person before God, are loved by him, forgiven, given eternal life in him. It's an awesome blessing. And it lays upon you an awesome responsibility. People come into contact with God, with Christ, through you. They see his kingdom through you. That means you need to turn away from sinful desires that they might not obscure Christ. That means you need to turn to others to serve them, to serve them with your prayers and with your deeds, as Christ himself served. In these ways, the kingdom of God comes. We still live in biblical times because they are God's times. We live in the times that God has made and live the life that God has given. Lives cleansed by God, made holy in Christ. And so for you, whatever your station is in life, whatever you are, where God has placed you, whether it's as a parent, or as a son or a daughter, an employee, or an employer, a church member, perhaps a congregational leader, a citizen, a neighbor, a friend. Live as God's priest and servant, a holy person in Christ. And God will not only bless you, he will bless others through you. All to the glory and honor of Jesus, our Savior, who with the Father and the Spirit lives and reigns, now and forever. Amen. And God's peace, it passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.